I have a word from the Lord this morning, and I'm very excited about it. And I would like it if all of us could open up to Hebrews chapter 10, please. That's where our text is going to be found. Praise God. Okay, so we were singing that song in your presence. How many of you, like me, have ever messed up that chorus really badly and wound up singing, "In your presence, that's where I be strong, and that's where I am long"? How many of you have ever done that before? I do that literally every time we sing, because you mix it up. It's like, "In your presence, that's where I be strong." Like, you catch yourself. It's like, oh, wait, that's the wrong part for that chorus. And, you know, it was funny as we were singing it, though. I just began to think about, you know, in relation to what the Lord's put in my heart for this morning. You know, life isn't always going to be like that. You know, we're singing about, "I want to be where the schemes of darkness cannot touch me. I want to be where the flood of evil cannot reach me." And that sounds very idealistic, and it sounds very spiritual and true. And I don't have a problem with the song. We're going to keep singing it here. It's not ungodly. I'm not accusing it. You know, but the reality of it is we're living in an hour of time where God is calling us as His church to run into that flood of evil head on. He's calling us to put our head down and charge into those schemes of darkness and confront what Satan is trying to do, not to stand back and stay within the four walls of our church and just kind of let everything work itself out. Let everything remain a political issue. Let the church stay silent, because it's just becoming too unacceptable and too unpopular to stand up for truth. So let's just let the world go to hell in a handbasket. We're going to heaven. Let's just leave it there. And unfortunately, that's the sad mentality of a lot of Christians today. And we couldn't get further from what the Bible commands us to be and what it commands us to do. You and I are called to be courageous. We are called to run into the darkness carrying the light. We are called to not be content with allowing Satan to have the upper hand in our communities, in our schools, and unfortunately, in our churches. Because we have so many around the country. I'm not here to bash anything or anybody, but we have so many churches, so many pastors that are not preaching truth. And we are bending beneath the pressure of the world and of society to not be controversial, to be accepting, to be welcoming to all. And it's going to take courage to stand up in this hour of time for what's right. It's going to take guts to be a Christian. In this country, it's been costless to claim the name of Christ. It really has been. There hasn't been a lot of cost in claiming the name of Jesus. And I believe we're already going in that direction. All you have to do is read the headlines. I don't claim to be a prophet or anything like that. But if you read the news enough, you know what I'm saying is true. It's going to start to cost to claim the name of Christ. We're going to start to feel it. And we have to be ready to pay. We have to. Jesus told us, "Count the cost. Take up your cross and follow me." This is not going to be easy. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be filled with the supernatural, but it's not going to be easy. And, you know, the whole source of this message was actually a Facebook post. You know, there was a young man from our school. He just finished his first year. Radical transformation in this guy's life. Absolutely wonderful transformation. And all he did was he posted on Facebook, "It takes courage to stand up for what is right." And I didn't know what made him post that, but it just stirred something in me. And immediately a verse came to my mind, and I replied to him, you know, and I don't usually do that on people's walls. You know, I'm a little more reserved when it comes to social networking. You know, I like to talk to actual people. You know, I'm just one of those old fashioned folks. You know what I mean? Just call me old fashioned, but hey. So I responded and I said, you know, "Hey, this is Brother Nick here. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 28:1. In Christ, you're a lion. Keep standing, brother." That's all I said. And, you know, because it was one of those moments, I read his post and that scripture immediately came to mind. It was like the Holy Spirit just illuminated that truth to me. It says the righteous are bold as a lion. Who are the righteous? You have verses like 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The righteous are those who are in Christ by faith. The righteous are not the super religious. The righteous are not the exceptionally strong or the scholarly. The righteous are simply those who have put their faith in Christ and His finished work on the cross. And the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1 that the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, I don't know about you, but I think my fearful, cowardly moments in life way outnumber my courageous moments in life. I think the moments where I've turned tail and ran far exceed the number of times where I've actually taken a stand with an iron backbone and faced the devil in the eye and did what I felt I should do as a good Christian. I kind of hope I'm not alone in that sentiment, you know, because misery loves company. But I'd like to think that we can all relate. We've all been fearful. We have all been less than bold. We have all been less than lions, if I could put it that way. And yet it says the righteous, those who are in Christ, are bold as a lion. And when I read that, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, Nick, every Christian is entitled to lion-like boldness. Every Christian is entitled to bravery. Every Christian. Because what we're going to find as we look through the scripture today in Hebrews 10 is that bravery, biblical bravery, is not a matter of strength. It's not a personality trait. You know, some people just, they have no fear. They'll jump up on some, like they're born to do parkour or something. They just want to leap from high buildings and you know, they want to get into the crazy X game sports and they're just fearless. I'm not like that. I'm not into that kind of stuff. You know, and we think that bravery, you know, is just something for extroverts. But it's not. Bravery is not a personality trait. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's a faith trait. It has nothing to do with what you think you are. It has nothing to do with your character, your personality. It has everything to do with who you belong to. And if you belong to Christ, if you are one of the righteous, you have been washed in His blood, and you've been given that new nature that the Bible talks about, you are entitled to a lion-like boldness. You are entitled to the kind of backbone that says, I'm not going to back down when society tells me to be quiet, when my culture tells me that this gospel is offensive and that they don't want to hear about this cross, I'm not going to be silent. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care if I become an outcast as a result. I'm going to stand up for truth. Every Christian's entitled to that. Every Christian. And we're going to talk about why this morning. The title of the message is, I Want to Be Brave. I Want to Be Brave. Every Christian is entitled to bravery. And this bravery is exactly what we're going to need in order to do what that brother was talking about in his Facebook post. If we want to stand up for what's right. Because I asked him, I actually messaged him, I'm like, what made you post that? Where did that come from? You know, because I more wanted to make sure I wasn't looking like an idiot. You know, like he wasn't just posting a cute quote that he had heard. And here I'm responding like he just needs to be encouraged when he really didn't need it at all. But in fact, you know, he did. He said, no, I was working with my youth and I could not believe some of their perceptions of what's right and what's wrong. I couldn't believe what they were calling truth. And I walked away from that youth meeting thinking it takes courage to stand up for what's right. And, you know, it was a nice conversation and it just really stirred something in my heart for today. You know, we need to be brave, but where does bravery come from? We know that it's available to us in Christ, so why aren't all of us walking in it all the time? How do we tap into it? If this is part of our inheritance as Christians, if we are entitled to bravery because we belong to Jesus, how do we walk that out? How do we tap into it? And then as I was thinking about this, the Lord brought Hebrews 11 to my mind where, you know, that passage in verse 34 where it says that men of faith waxed valiant in fight. They grew mighty in war and they turned entire armies into retreat. And I thought, man, you know, that's amazing. They were men of faith. It was their faith that made them brave. Bravery is a matter of faith. It's not a matter of strength or skill in battle. And you know, when you look at the context of the passage, the author of Hebrews is telling the group that he's writing to, you can have the same kind of bravery if you'll have that kind of faith. So the real question that we're going to deal with this morning as we look at our text is, what is faith? What kind of faith is this? How do we tap into this? And we're going to pick up in chapter 10, verse 32. And we're going to read through to chapter 11, verse 1. Again, the title of the message this morning is, I Want to Be Brave. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So you have an entire church, an entire group of people, this Hebrew audience that the author's writing to. They're enduring persecution. They needed bravery. They're being publicly insulted and humiliated. Their property is being stolen and vandalized. You know, this is what they're going through. And they're faltering now. They're beginning to lose heart. They're beginning to cast away that confidence. And the author is writing to exhort them, stay in the fight. Don't back down from what you're facing. And he says, remember when you first got saved and you endured the suffering, no problem. And he says in verse 34, look there with me again. He says, the reason they were able to endure was because even though their earthly possessions were being taken, they knew they had a promised heavenly possession that couldn't be taken. He says, you accepted the plundering of your property because you knew that you had a better possession and an abiding one. He's talking about their inheritance in the heavens. He's talking about the finish line. He said, you knew that when you got to the end of this life, there was an inheritance that no persecutor could take from you. So you didn't care what you were facing. You were able to endure all the suffering because you knew what was waiting for you at the end of this life. You believed the promise of God, and thus you were bold. You took God at his word, and thus you were brave. That was where the bravery came from. They took God at his word. Therefore, in verse 35, do not throw away your confidence. And that word confidence in the Greek, it's the word paresia. And it means a state of boldness and confidence, sometimes implying intimidating circumstances. So in the face of fearful situations, you're bold as a lion. In the face of difficulty, in the face of hardship, you're not backing down. You've got the backbone to stand up. And the writer is telling them, don't throw that away. You have that at the very beginning of your Christian experience. Don't lose it now. Hold on to that. Do not accept retreat. Do not turn and run in the other direction. You believed God, and that was why you were able to be bold. Don't start doubting him now. Don't throw that boldness away. In verse 36, he says, you have need of endurance so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. He's telling them, listen, the thing you were hoping for at the beginning hasn't lost any of its reality. It's still there for you. You can still lay hold of that promise. And if you hang on in faith, you will possess it. You will possess it. Then in verse 37, he quotes the Greek version of Habakkuk. You know, one of those really short books in the Old Testament that you're kind of like, what is the point of this anyway? You read it, it's all prophetic, so the language is all confusing, and it's one we usually, we get intimidated by and skip over, like Obadiah and Nahum, like, what are those books in there for? You know, but there actually is a purpose to them. And in Habakkuk, that prophet was actually writing a struggle that he was having with God's ways. Because he was facing incredible moral evil in his society. The whole country, which, you know, had just experienced revival only a decade earlier under a king named Josiah. They had just undergone a huge national revival, and they're backsliding again. They're falling away again. They're slipping back into idolatry. They're forsaking what they know to be right. And Habakkuk is basically saying, Lord, why are you not doing anything about this? And God responds to him and says, no, I am going to do something about it. I'm going to raise up a foreign power to come in. The Babylonians are going to come in and invade your nation. And they're actually going to be the tool that I use to punish this wicked rebellion against me. And Habakkuk is really taken aback by that. He says, wait a minute. Lord, you know, I wanted you to get the idolatry out. I didn't want you to sell us into slavery. You know, I don't understand why you're going about it this way. And God begins to speak to him. God begins in chapter 2 to tell him not only why, The nation merited that kind of judgment, but he's also promising deliverance. And later on in chapter 3, at the end of the book, Habakkuk begins to praise God for his covenant faithfulness. But Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 is what the author of Hebrews quotes in verse 37. He says, "Yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." So he's quoting this passage in Habakkuk where God was assuring the prophet that justice was coming. God would not fail to do what he'd promised to do. And the New Testament author here in this chapter is using the passage to show his audience that, rest assured, your salvation is on its way. Your final salvation. God will not fail in doing all that he promised to do. Do not give up now. You can trust him just as much as you did at the beginning of your faith. But in the meantime, while you're waiting, the righteous are to live by faith and not shrink back in unbelief. He says, you want to be brave? You want to endure? You want to have boldness to stand in the midst of the darkness that you're facing in your society and in this hour of time? You got to live by faith. You cannot shrink back in unbelief. But that's the thing. Remember, the chapter and verse divisions of the Bible are not inspired. The Holy Ghost did not put those there. They're great because they help us find our way through the scripture. But when this was originally written, it was one continuous letter. So you've got to read verse 1 of chapter 11 as the same thought as where the end of chapter 10 is. So let's start at verse 37. I want to read through it one more time. Follow the flow with me. "For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." He tells them, if you want to stand in this darkness, if you want to make it to your finish line, you've got to live by faith. But I'm not going to leave you thinking that faith is just some abstract concept that only the super smart are going to understand. I'm going to tell you what faith is. And he begins to define it for them, thus beginning one of the most incredible chapters in all of the New Testament. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In other words, faith is this: I don't need to see it to know that it's real. I believe what he told me, and that's all that matters. It's real because God says it's real. I don't see the final victory yet. Right now, I see darkness. I see a society that is completely governed by a spirit of Antichrist. Right now, I see a culture that rejects the cross, that wants nothing to do with this gospel, that wants me to stay silent and not say that there is such a thing as a moral absolute. That's what I see right now. But that's not what governs truth for me. The Word of God, what He says. So really, what the author of Hebrews is doing is he's not giving them even a theological definition of faith. He's showing them what faith in action looks like. It's the conviction of things not seen. Listen, there's a gentleman I like reading. His name's Bob Utley. Listen to what he says about this verse. He says, "This is not a theological definition of faith, but a picture of the practical outworking of it. Faith is a human response to God's faithfulness and His promise. We trust His trustworthiness, not our own. His character is the key." So in the midst of this whole exhortation, He is not telling them to be strong. He is not telling them to be mighty. He's not telling them to be really smart and intelligent. He's saying, if you want to stand, you've just got to believe that God is who He says He is. You've just got to believe that God never fails. If you will take Him at His word, if you will believe that He is good, and you will not allow the opinion of this world around you to dictate who He is, you're going to make it. It's not a complicated thing. There is no super deep, really difficult and complicated definition of this Christian walk. It's not. It is deliberately simple. Christianity is deliberately simple. Because our God loves us. That's it. He says, if you want to make it, you just have to trust me. That's all it comes down to. You have to believe that I am who I say I am. He has no expectations on you but to trust him. Because everything we need for a healthy relationship with Christ flows out of trust. If you trust Him, you will be honest with Him. If you trust Him, you will cast your cares upon Him. If you trust Him, you will allow Him to say to you whatever you need to hear. Whether you like it or not, you'll let Him say it. And if you trust Him, you'll obey Him. Everything flows out of that. If we would just take our God at His word, if we would believe that He is everything He says He is, we would never lack the guts to take a stand in our society. I don't need to be really strong. Lord knows I'm not. I don't need to be what the world would call an exceptionally brave person. I feel like I'm more fearful than I am courageous sometimes. But if I can just take God at His word, He's going to fill me with everything I need. The righteous are as bold as a lion. You could look for any weakness you want in yourself. Trust me, if you're looking for weakness in your own heart, it's not going to take you long to find it. It won't. It will not take you long to find it at all. But the word of God stands true. Lord, You said the righteous are bold as a lion. I'm in You. I'm righteous. I'm entitled to this. Give me all that I need. And He's going to do it. It's faith. That's it. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Where does bravery come from? It comes from taking God at His word. That's it. When we believe that He is who He says He is and that His promises never fail, that's when we're going to be like those men later on in chapter 11. We're going to wax valiant and fight. We're going to grow mighty in war, and we're going to put enemy armies to flight. Go ahead in chapter 11, if you would please, and let's just read a few verses. Go to verse 32. Chapter 11, verse 32. We're going to read a few verses from there, and we're going to begin to draw this to a close. He says, "And what more shall I say?" And this is after giving 31 examples of faith, men and women of God who took God at His word and despite their circumstances believed that He would do everything He said He would do. "What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." The author is very clear. Everything they did by faith. And they didn't even see the fullness of the promise. Because look, we're not going to get deep into it now. But everything these people were waiting on ultimately pointed to Jesus Christ and His coming. Ultimately, that's what it was leading up to. And they didn't see Jesus come before they left this world. And yet, they continued to take God at His word. And because of that faith, they were brave. They stood against lions. They stood in the midst of furnaces. They stood in front of entire armies. And we're entitled to that kind of bravery. You are entitled to the strength. You are entitled to the authority to turn demonic armies in retreat again. Where you see truth deteriorating. Where you see morality, biblical morality, being completely forsaken and even turned against. You have the boldness. You are entitled to the guts to step in and say, "No, this is what God says about this matter." You have the power to do that. You're entitled to it. Do not settle for less than everything that God has promised you, because that's unbelief. Take God at His word. Believe that what He says is true, and you're going to walk in that lion-like boldness. You know, I've been on a bit of a David kick lately. I really like David. And I'm reading his story right now in my morning devotions. I like to go through the Bible in a year. And right now I'm in 1 Samuel. And, you know, when David faced off with Goliath, The reason why he was able to do that, and I'm going to close with this example from his life because he's even mentioned in the passage. The reason why David was able to stand up against Goliath had nothing to do with his own self-confidence. It had nothing to do with his skill with a sling. It had nothing to do with that. And to tell you the truth, it really didn't even have much to do with the fact that he'd killed a lion and a bear. It really didn't. The most important line in 1 Samuel 17, when you read the story of David and Goliath, is this. He hears Goliath's harassing words against the army of Israel. He goes up to the other Israelite soldiers and he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" That's the most important line in the whole story because it tells us exactly where David was drawing his strength from. Because what was circumcision all about? That was the sign of covenant relationship with God. David was essentially telling the Israelite army, wait a minute, we are God's covenant people, he's not. So where does he get off telling us that we are not entitled to the promises of God? God promised us by covenant. He made a contract with our forefathers that we would be a sovereign and independent people, that we would be free. This guy is telling us that he's going to defeat us and make us his slaves. Where does he get that authority from? He's not in covenant with us. That's exactly where David was drawing his strength from. He knew he could beat Goliath, not because he was strong, but because God's honor was on the line. And David knew that God would stand up for his own honor. He said, this guy is trying to make God look like a liar. That's what he was saying. If we can really be enslaved as a people, then he's making God look like a liar. And that's not acceptable. He's trying to make God look unfaithful, and that's not okay. And he knew, God, you'll defend your honor, and I so believe it that I know you're going to give this 10-foot giant into my hands. That's where he drew his strength from. He won the battle by faith. And when he went to Saul and referenced the lion and the bear, he was, again, pointing back to God's faithfulness. Listen, I know I'm just a young kid, but look, I've seen God give me a lion, give me a bear. I wasn't afraid of them. God's going to be just as faithful to me today because his honor is on the line. God will always defend his own honor, folks. And because of who he is, because of his faithfulness, we can be brave. You can take a stand in the marketplaces of life. You can be an outspoken Christian in your workplace. You can. You can. You can be outspoken in your school. You can be outspoken at Walmart. You can. We don't have to be afraid. If we take God at his word, we'll be brave. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, let's stand. I don't have an altar call. I just feel that we need to pray together. And I don't feel to have us all break up in groups. I'm going to bring the mic down. So Joshua, if we could get the handheld turned on. And, you know, in our, when we pray together, you know, in our church and here at the school, if you so feel moved to come down and lead us in prayer, no one is under any obligation to pray at a certain volume or pray a certain way. It's not our loudness that makes us heard. It's our faith and our honesty. You know, and if you are just stirred by the word of the Lord this morning and you want to cry out to God, give us boldness, Lord, make us brave, then you are free to come down and take this microphone and lead us in a short prayer. And we're just going to spend some time doing this. It's early. It's only 11:15. We're just going to pray. And, you know, if you're not used to doing this, then, you know, I encourage you, stay standing, pace if you need to, stay engaged. We are going to war. This is an hour where we need to fight. We need to learn how to soldier up. We need to learn how to put our head down and run into that flood of evil. We aren't always going to be able to hide in church and escape it. We're not. We're not going to be able to be like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, let's build tabernacles and stay here. This is a good place. Jesus was saying, no, look, you get to be here for a little bit, but there's a demon-possessed boy at the bottom of this hill that needs to be delivered. There's a flood of evil at the bottom of this hill that you need to learn to run into and confront and charge into, not accepting defeat, not giving into retreat. So I'm just going to lead us off in prayer. And, you know, even Pastor Tim, if you wouldn't mind praying after I do. And look, if you want to lead us out in prayer, just make your way down to the front and just grab the mic as it's freed up. And we're going to take some time and pray. Thank you, Jesus. I'll even use the... Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we worship you, Lord. God, we are, in and of ourselves, we are nothing, Lord. In and of ourselves, we are so weak, O God. But Jesus, I thank you that you've chosen the weak and the foolish things of this world to bring to nothing the things that call themselves mighty, the things that call themselves wise. God, I thank you, Lord, that you aren't intimidated by our intimidation. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, even for the story of Gideon, God, how when you met him, when the angel of the Lord met him, he said, I can't go for you. I'm the least among my father's house. My father's clan is the smallest in the nation. God, you can't use me. You've got the wrong guy. Lord, I thank you that so many times that was the man you chose. That was their response to you, Lord. Even when you came to the Virgin Mary, she said, how is this possible? I'm a virgin. I'm not even married yet. You can't use me. God, I thank you, Lord, that you always have provision for our weakness, God. I thank you, Lord, that you will not be limited. You delight in our human limitations. You delight in our inadequacies, oh God, because it's then that your strength is made perfect. God, I pray that you would make us brave today. Lord, you know the fears that are in us, God. You know those of us here that fear rejection. Lord, you know those of us in this room that have a hard time evangelizing and being open about our faith because we're afraid we won't know what to say. We're afraid that we'll be rejected and whatnot. Jesus, you suffered shame so that we could be fully redeemed and purchased. God Almighty, I pray that we would show you the honor of not being ashamed of you before men. God, I pray that you would give us a Holy Ghost boldness, O Lord. Jesus, give us power, O God, to stand, to say what truth is, to speak this gospel, O Lord, to not back down, O God. Father, we want to pray for pastors this morning across the nation, O Lord God. Jesus, I pray that you would revive truth in our pulpits again. Lord, I pray, O God, that there would be a message of truth, no compromise, Lord. Father, let there not be some watered down message where there's a fear to call sin, sin. God Almighty, I pray that there would be a call to repentance again in our churches, oh God. Lord, we pray for our youth. Lord, I pray that you would protect them, oh Lord, from what they're trying to be indoctrinated with in their classrooms, oh God, where they're being told that they're just an accident. They're just the result of evolution. There's no purpose to their life. That they have to find their own purpose, make their own way. God, I pray, Lord, that you would preserve them, oh God. Keep them, Lord Jesus, and give them the bravery. Give them the courage to take a stand, Lord God Almighty. Let them not accept defeat, oh God. Let them not run the opposite way. God, give your church a voice again. Give us the bravery to raise that voice. We already have it, God. We know what the truth is. We know what this gospel is, God. If we've been saved by it, then we know it, Lord. Give us the guts to speak it, oh Lord. Give us the backbone to stand and say what it is. Help us, oh God. Holy Spirit, come upon us, Lord. Jesus, I thank you for Acts chapter 2, 120 fearful people in that upper room. All of them ran for their lives in the garden. All of them, one of them in particular, denied ever knowing you. But when your Holy Spirit filled them in that upper room, they were standing in the marketplace and thousands got saved. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are not limited by my fear. You are not limited by my inadequacy. I thank you that you can overcome it if I will but lay it at your feet. Jesus, we lay our fear before you. We lay our inadequacies before you. Holy Spirit, come upon us, oh God. Come upon us and fill us like we've never been filled before. We want to be brave, God. We want to stand for you with all boldness and all courage, oh God. We don't want to back down, oh Lord Jesus. We don't want to be governed by what society says. God, I thank you that you promised you would build your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Lord, help us to walk out that promise. Help us to walk out that call. And I ask it in Jesus' name.
Before I pray, everybody, just look at me a moment. I mean, this message was really a confirmation in my life and something very personal I want to share with you. I know it's from the Lord. It's just one of the ways that the Lord speaks to me. I've been having a reoccurring dream, and I kind of got the gist of the message of what the Lord was speaking to me, but the Lord really just used this message just to really seal it in my heart. It's just been a dream that I've just been having over and over again. And in this dream, I'm standing in the middle of a homosexual convention. It's a convention where homosexuals are just standing up and declaring their gay rights, and they have noted speakers, and they have this platform, and, you know, like any other convention, it's a very organized convention. And I'm standing in the middle of this homosexual convention just listening to them declare their gay rights and things like that. And when the last speaker finally sits down, and there's no speaker on the stage, the Holy Spirit suddenly speaks to my heart, and he says, Tim, go up there and preach the gospel. They're done now. Go up and preach the gospel. And I feel, in this dream, I feel the fear rise up, but the Lord would tell me, Brother Nick, he would tell me, there's many here that really are hungry to hear what you have to say. They're tired of their sin. They're tired of their bondage. You're putting on this outward, I'm gay and I'm proud of it. And I defy everything that defies my rights to be gay. It's just an outward farce. There are many that are really hungry to be free. Tim, I want you to be brave. And I want you to go preach the gospel. So in this dream, I work my way up to the platform. Nobody seems to be noticed. And I stand behind the platform. And I just start preaching the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and set free from the power of darkness. I just preach a very simple gospel. And I give an altar call. And anyone who wants this Jesus, anyone who wants this freedom, if you'll just come down to the front, I'll just say a simple prayer for you and lead you to the Lord and let God begin to work something in your life. And I'll tell you something. In that dream, hundreds ran to the front. And I remember standing there so amazed. I mean, I just heard this whole shebang about I'm gay and I'm proud. And here are hundreds standing in the altar saying, I want Jesus. I want to be free. And the Lord said, Tim, there are many in your generation bound by perversion, bound by sin, but if the truth be known, they want to be free, and they will be free, but you have to be brave. You have to be brave. But just know, you'll never stand anywhere by yourself. If you'll stand there in faith, I will stand next to you. And I'm just telling you, Brother Nick, your message really moved my heart, because I know what God has been speaking to me. And I'm not saying we all have to go to gay rallies. I like what he said. We can have boldness to stand up in our workplace. We can have boldness to stand up in Walmart when the Lord says it's time to take a stand. There are just times in our life where Jesus says, I know everybody else is intimidated, but I don't want to be intimidated here. There are times when Jesus is just going to want to stand up in our life and be God. And that'll take courage. But I like what Brother Nick said. Courage doesn't come by strength. It takes the strong to be courageous. It's just someone who really believes God meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Amen. And I really agree with you, Brother Nick. We're not feeling the cost of following Jesus in this nation, really. We're really not. But it's soon in coming. It is very soon in coming where it will cost to be a voice. And the Lord has planted a seed, because that's what I think it is. It's a seed he's going to begin to nourish. You're going to have to be brave. You're going to have to be courageous. Amen. But just know this. There are people that are hungry. Slaves that are hungry to be free. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this word, God. And I do pray, Lord. God, I just pray. I thank you for the revelation, God. Lord, this bravery is not to the strong. It's not to those that are just born with that outgoing personality, that fearless personality. Lord, it is for everyone, God. And Lord, even in this nation, God, if we're not standing in a place of depravity, Lord, we are speeding toward that place of depravity, God. Lord, and I just pray, God, it is going to take a brave people, Lord. It is going to take a people with a lion-like heart, God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would work this Lord, this word into our heart, God, and Lord, that we would be a people of discernment, God. That, God, we would be able to discern your voice and discern the leading of your spirit. That when you say it's time to take a stand, it's time to stand up. I know there are many that are afraid. I know there are many that are shrinking back. But I need you to be brave now. I want to stand up in your life now. And I want to confront the darkness. God, I pray, Lord, that when you place that discernment upon our lives to discern your voice and your leading, that, God, we would be that people that would stand up against the darkness. Father, I know in my heart, God, there are so many people that are hungry for what you have to offer. God, they're hungry for what you have to offer. They're hungry for this salvation, Lord. They're hungry to be free from the guilt and the shame of horrific sin in their life, Lord. The things that they do behind closed doors, very shameful things. Lord, they're hungry to be free from that, God. And Lord, I pray it, Lord, with a heart of compassion because I've been in that boat. I've been behind those closed doors, God. And Lord, you have freed my heart, God. And I just pray, God, Lord, that you would just move upon our lives to speak the things that you put in our heart when you call us to speak, and that we would be brave. And God, as a result of our obedience, God, Lord, we would see people set free. We would see prison doors open. We would see chains fall off, God. We would see these things, God, happen, Lord, in people's lives. And God, that you would raise up marvelous testimonies of the supernatural working of grace and a life that is yielded to you, God. Father, I just pray, Lord, cause us to be a bold people, Lord, in the midst of a dark generation, God. Lord, we don't want to be the ones on the mountaintop saying, let's build us a permanent place. Let's build a place here, God, when there are little demon-possessed boys at the bottom of the mountain, engrossed in darkness, God. Put something in our heart, God. And Lord, even as a church, would you lead us how to lead us, God. Teach us how to come down off the mountain and into a society that's dark, Lord, and see the demon-oppressed set free, God. Lord, I thank you, God. Would you raise us up to be a brave people, God, in faith and in discernment. God, would you raise us up, God, and I thank you for that. And I pray it in Jesus' name.
God, I want to pray, just even brought to my heart, God, to be a brave person means to be a selfless person. God, and in those areas in our life, God, that we want to hang on to our rights and we want to hang on to what we think we deserve. God, I pray that you would help us to lay that aside. God, even when you washed the disciples' feet, God, you are a servant to them. God, you went to the very lowest place, God, to wash their feet. God, and in this generation, God, to be a brave person means to put yourself aside, God. But we need the grace of God to do that. We need your grace to do that, God. It goes against every natural desire, everything within our hearts, God, to lay it aside. God, I pray that it would happen in just the normal everyday, and God, that we would continue to just lay or put ourselves aside, put our brothers and our sisters, God, before us, God, to allow them maybe to take the higher place, God, and we would be humble. God, make us humble people, God. When David walked on that battlefield, he wasn't prideful. He wasn't presenting himself. He was walking under the covering of his God, and that's why there was boldness, as our brother said, God, but he was a selfless person. He put his life on the line when he stepped on that battlefield. God, I pray that every day, God, we would put our lives before you, God, and say, God, make us brave people, God. Make us selfless people, God. Let us give ourselves for others, God, even when it hurts, God, even when it's not convenient, God, even when it's uncomfortable, God. Even for the lost, God, and we see maybe their sin and, well, they deserve that, God. But I pray that we would love them with an everlasting love, God. That we would love them beyond their sin. We would love them for who they are and who you've created them to be, God. We would see them as you see them, oh God. We wouldn't look in judgment, God. We wouldn't look with critical eyes, God, but we would see these people, God, as people that you love so dearly, God, that you sacrificed yourself on a cross for them, oh God, even in our lives, we would sacrifice on behalf of them, oh God. If it means laying down our lives for them, oh God, we would be willing to do that, oh God. This takes your grace, God. I pray tomorrow morning, God, when we wake up and we feel like being selfish, God, I pray that you put a grace in our hearts to step out and say, God, here I am. However you want to use my life today, God, use me, God. Allow me, God, to be your servant, oh God, today to wash somebody else's feet, oh God, to humble myself, to come to that low place and allow your glory to be seen. I think of that scene, God, where you washed those disciples' feet. Your glory was there, oh God. The presence of God was there and lives were touched and changed, God. As we humble ourselves, God, let many around us be touched and changed and moved, oh God. God, when they see us not grasping for the things of this life, they're going to be, why do you do this? What motivates you, oh God? And we can say it's because of the grace of God in our own lives. It's because of what God's done in our own hearts, because he came as a servant for me. I'm coming as a servant to you. God, move in our hearts. God, move us by the grace of God. Move us, oh God. God, and even in this moment, God, we can be moved and stirred, but we need you to move us and stir us on the Mondays and the Tuesdays and the Wednesdays and Thursdays, God. We need you to move us, God. God, move us, God. By your Spirit, God, move us. Allow us to be your servants to this generation, God. God, we love you. God, we thank you. You've made every provision for us to do this, oh God. You have given all that we need, oh God, to reach this generation, God, and we thank you for that, God, in your name.
God, I thank you, Lord, that we can come and pray together, God, as a family. And God, I pray that we would not neglect the power of prayer and the weapon that you have placed in our hands. Father, even as you are causing our hearts to be stirred for what is on your heart, God, I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to wield our weapons, Lord, effectively, Lord. I pray that you would make us soldiers, God, that are trained and ready, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are preparing our hearts, Lord, and I pray that you prepare our minds, oh God, that you would give us right thinking, God, that we would defend the fatherless, God, that we would stand up for the widow, God, that we would, Lord, have pure religion and undefiled, God, that we would cry out for those that cannot cry out for themselves, oh God. Father, that you would help us to be the voice of the voiceless, God, that you would, God, I pray we'd see the unseen, God, we'd hear those, Lord, whose cries go unheard, God, I pray that you would awaken our senses, oh God, to what is on your heart, God, I pray we'd hear your heartbeat and we'd know it, God, but it wouldn't be just in our closets, God, I pray that we would preach it on the streets, God, that we would find ourselves being bold in our faith, God. And Lord, I know it does take courage, and I just pray, God, Lord, especially you were just laying on my heart, Lord, just the families, God, I pray for parents, God, that who are trying to raise a godly generation in the midst of a swell of ungodly thoughts, God, those, Lord, whose children go off to public school, Lord, and Lord, they are bombarded by the message, Lord, in the locker rooms, God, and they are bombarded by the message that often comes out of the classroom, God, and they are attempting, God, to do their best, Lord, to raise a godly generation. I pray, God, for faith. God, I pray for wisdom. God, I pray that you would bless them, Lord, beyond their imagination, God, that you would give them, help them not to be afraid to speak to their children, God, help them not to be afraid to have real conversations with their young ones, God. I pray, God, that you would make us wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, God, Lord, that we would know what thus saith the Lord over the lives of our children, God. I pray, Lord, that you would even, Lord, encourage those, God, that see their children struggling, their teenagers, God, Lord, that seem to be going down a wrong path. Father, you would give them wisdom and how to bring them, how to make a way of trust, how to make a safe place for conversations in their home, God. I pray, God, that the world wouldn't be the first one to teach our children, Lord, but it would be found in the home first. God, I pray, Lord, that you would raise up fathers, God. I pray, Lord, for the fatherless, God. I pray for those who have no, Lord, standard bearer in the house, God. I pray that you would raise up men after your heart, God, who will be the priest of their homes, God, who will truly lead their young, God, who will lead their wives gently, God. I pray, God, that they would have faith like David, oh God, to stand before the uncircumcised Philistine and declare your glory, God, over their family, God. I pray, God, for women, oh God, like Hannah, Lord, that will just lay their sons at your feet again and again, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would raise up a generation that knows you, God. And I pray, God, that you would touch our family, God, that has been just bombarded by the evil one, that has been torn apart, God, by a society that doesn't believe in values anymore. I pray, Lord, that you would give us faith to speak truth, God, to stand up for what you instituted first and foremost, God, in the bedrock of a society is truly the family, God. And I pray that you would make us brave families, God, that you would calls us, God, to stand in the midst, oh Lord, of a generation that doesn't know you. But God, I pray in the middle of that, there'd be preschoolers and teenagers, God. There'd be old and young that would know their God and they would do exploits, God, that they would be strong, oh God. Father, I pray that you would enable parents to form a foundation for their families, Lord, that cannot be shaken, that when their children walk into schools and they hear things different, they're not moved, Lord, because they know truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be people of truth, where truth is not that whatever you feel is right, but I pray we know truth is a person. He is Jesus Christ, God, and I pray, Lord, that that would resonate in our hearts, Lord, that the absolute truth of your word is steadfast, God, and I pray you'd make us people that are not afraid, and Lord, that we would be, Lord, not afraid to speak over our children, over our grandchildren, God, into the lives of those that you have put into our hands, our neighbors, and those that you've given into our care, God, that whatever platform we find our feet standing upon, we would boldly declare your word, God. If it's over a telephone wire, God, Lord, if it's across, Lord, an email, God, no matter what the platform is, I pray we'd speak with boldness and with truth and with clarity, oh God. And in those moments where we feel like we don't have the answer, I pray we wouldn't stop, but I pray it would go to force us to our knees, for there's where we find our answers. Lord, I thank you that you told us in your word, take no thought for what you're going to say, because when you stand before kings, I'll fill your mouth, God. And when we find ourselves standing before those that we have no answer, I praise you, Lord, that you are going to fill our mouths. I pray we'd be people that study the word, God, that we'd be people that open your word, because that is the truth. And Lord, we'd be brave in our study, in our preaching, God, no matter where we are. And I thank you that we never stand alone, oh God. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you that you are worthy of our full trust and our full confidence. God, forgive us for the times that we doubt you. Lord, for the times where we allow the enemy to call your goodness or your faithfulness into question. Lord, I pray that you would set us free from every accusation that our hearts could ever form against you. God, any question of if you're good, why could you allow something? Why would you do this? How long will you let this happen? Father, I pray, Jesus, that Lord, whenever we find ourselves in those places of difficulty and those questions arise, God, I pray that we would always find ourselves coming back to the cross, Lord, remembering that that was the ultimate proof of who you are, who you truly are, God. Lord, that you are good, that you are loving, that you are kind, and you're gentle. Lord, I pray that you would make us a brave people. God, help us to lift our voices, Lord, with courage. Not afraid, Jesus, not afraid of the faces that are before us, oh God. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would be the only fear that we walk in this life. The fear of God would be the one thing that marks our lives. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are for us. And because you're for us, no one can be against us. God, I thank you, Jesus, that you haven't asked anyone in this room to be strong, to be mighty, to be skillful. You simply have asked us all to trust you. And out of that trust will come a lion-like boldness, Father, to stand wherever you may place us. Father, now lead us as we go. God, I thank you for our sister's prayer that you will stir us on Monday through Friday, oh God. Lord, even when we are not in this house, and Lord, we've gone all week, it seems, without church or without godly fellowship. Lord, I thank you that even in those moments, you're going to be with us. You're going to fill us. You're going to stir us, oh God. Jesus, I pray that we would be everything that you've intended us to be, O Lord God. Raise up a glorious church in this country, Lord, in this last hour of time. We love you so much, and we pray your blessing on us now as we go. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.